Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers lose a heartbreaker to the Sixers on Sunday, and a lot of people laying the blame at the feet of Darvin Ham. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcasts, it's always free. It's never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to read what I'm sure will be a host of angry comments about the way that Sunday night's loss to the Sixers ended. Very controversial 113-112 loss, where the final possession, the Lakers do not call timeout. With a chance to set up a play and the ball in Russell Westbrook's hands. So plenty to unpack there. A little bit of an update, too, on Anthony Davis, who was doing some on-court work before that game on Sunday. And, of course, LeBron James passes the 38,000-point threshold. And I know we're paying a lot more attention to the whole Kareem thing, Andy, but 38,000 is an insane amount of points.
I mean, for that matter, Russell Westbrook in this game set the record for most triple-doubles off the bench. This was his fourth. He is now the all-time leader in triple-doubles off the bench. And it is, in a lot of ways, apropos for just the Russell Westbrook experience in this game, the Russell Westbrook experience at large, in that you see a lot of spectacular, but there is often a lot that leaves you either frustrated or bewildered or something in between, because as we will discuss, Russ on balance had a really good game, but the final possession was, to put it mildly, a Lulu.
Horrible. I do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. So we'll get to LeBron's game sort of, I guess, in the context of this conversation, certainly the passing 38,000 points, a bit of a side feature of what is important, so to speak, coming out of this game. But again, that is a lot of points. The game was unusual in a lot of ways. The Lakers shot very few free throws. They only made 6 3-pointers. It is very rare to win a game now in the NBA where you only make 6 3-pointers. But the Lakers had the ball with about 14 and a half seconds left off a Joel Embiid miss, by the way, defended by Russell Westbrook.
Very well.
Darvin Ham, as many coaches choose, did not call timeout. The most Laker fans have seen it, but if you haven't or just want to relive it, goes down. The ball never leaves Westbrook's hands. He is matched up on Embiid the other direction. Does not get a shot off. It looked like he was actually trying to lob the ball to Wenyan Gabriel. Russ said afterwards that he got fouled, that Embiid grabbed his wrist, which he kind of did. Still not entirely sure what Westbrook was planning on doing with the ball.
I noted this on Twitter at Cam Brothers, because like I originally couldn't tell what it was. Mm-hmm. And I actually asked the question on Twitter, like, hey, consensus, what do you guys think happened on that thing? Because I could not decide whether it was a pass or a really odd looking shot attempt near at the rim, like, you know, with the clock running down. There was enough consensus coming in on Twitter. Plus I, you know, got to see the replay multiple times. My original tweet was after the real time shot that I had with, I'd say maybe 70% confidence decided that it was a pass. And then you and I were texting before the show, and you were like 97% sure it was.
It looked like, because it looked like a lob to Wenyan,
right? But
if it was anybody else, I said if it was anybody else, I would be 100% sure it was a lob,
right?
Because it's Westbrook, you don't entirely know. But then Westbrook was asked the question after the game, and he didn't really answer it. He just said, "I was trying to get the ball up. He fouled me."
I'm just going
to
say.
Which I think indicates to me that I guess he was trying to shoot, but I don't really know. The point, Andy.
We've watched, I just want to say, we've watched a thousands of NBA games over just our career, to say nothing of, you know, when we were civilians and not getting paid to do this. I have never been more confused by a final possession in my life.
Well, so much of this is of the ire that might be directed towards Westbrook from people is related to Darvin Ham. And really, this is a game that a lot of fans are talking about. Darvin and the choice tree that he... so the selection that he took off the choice tree there, which is to not call timeout. I will say this. Broadly, if somebody says you have to choose one or the other, NBA game, 15 seconds left, do you call timeout in a situation like this to go get a shot in the final possession? I would say no. I do agree with the general philosophy of it is better to attack a defense that is moving, that is not set, that doesn't have a chance to make substitutions, that all that stuff. There are, Andy, though, exceptions to that rule. And I suspect you feel like I do that the Lakers fall into that range of exceptions.
Yes, I also tweeted out at Cam Brothers that I understand that philosophy, mm-hmm. but on a few fronts, I think they should have called timeout. First of all, as a few people noted on Twitter, including our friend Michael Pena, now at the Ringer, correct?
Take your word for it. I believe so.
Ringer Sports Illustrated, but I believe he's now.
No, he's left Sports Illustrated. I think he's at the Ringer.
The defense by that point for Philly was set. Like, they actually had enough time to set up over the course of this possession. So you weren't gaining any advantage. It's not like they were scrambled. Secondly, the Lakers, as a crunch time offense, have been terrible this season. Therefore, it'd be one thing if you're talking about, like, you know, the Kobe Powell teams that we covered, you know, for several years, that were championship level, championship proven, literally championship teams. Those are the type of squads that you would feel confident letting them figure it out on the fly, because they had enough experience together, but also enough success together. There was an actual template for this where you could say, all right, let them do this and try to create advantages out there. The Lakers have not been good this year in crunch time, and they've had no continuity whatsoever. And then once Westbrook, during, you know, this was a possession where Russ was the only person who touched the ball.
Yes.
Which, as we will talk about, LeBron was clearly not pleased about, and I don't blame him. A lot of people weren't happy about this, certainly among Laker fans. Russ at one point bobbled the ball. He almost turned it over with about 6 seconds left.
Tried to cross, went between his legs against Embiid, tried to break him down. He's trying to break down Embiid to get to the – and it should be noted – Joel Embiid, I understand it's big versus guard. It says Joel Embiid is, when he is really focused on you, arguably the most difficult defender to attack in the NBA.
Yes, he was. I want to make it clear. I'm not saying that he was like going, you know, between his legs.
No. It is important. Like, you know, he's up against a big. But like, to your point that you made, that, you know, you're relaying that Michael Pena made. It is a different deal. Like, he set up one-on-one to try to break down Joel Embiid with the entirety of the defense focused on him and LeBron on the other side of the floor.
Right. And at that point, once the ball is bobbled, you have to call timeout. You have to.
That was what, about 6 or 7 seconds left at that point?
Six-ish seconds left. You have to call timeout, because even if Russ had been looking in LeBron's direction, which I cannot emphasize enough, he wasn't.
Nope.
LeBron was far from the action. Like, he was, like, if the ball had gotten to LeBron, he would have only had a few seconds to register everything and find something to do. Like, you needed to call timeout at that point, because whatever confidence you had in Russ at that point, this play had just fallen apart. Like, whatever.
Yeah, it kind of looked like LeBron was sort of out there going, all right, I guess this is how it's going to be.
Oh, he He looked like he was, honestly, he looked like he was just getting an early start on walking off the court. Like, he was so far from what was happening.
He was like the rest of us watching from home going, I don't like where this is going. You know, he was watching from a distance, nervous about where it was going. So we both agree, the Lakers, right basketball play, wrong basketball play for an NBA team, speaking kind of royally, can have that conversation. For this Lakers team, timeout needed to be called. The reaction, we'll get into a little bit of Darvin's explanation, but a lot of people, understandably, focused on LeBron's reaction to the play in real time. So let's get to all of that, plus a little Anthony Davis update next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Prize Picks. Laker fans, if you've not signed up for Prize Picks, you are missing out on daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer the superstar players. They offer the bench players. Just pick 2 to 5 players, predict whether they will notch more or less than their Prize Picks stats projections. And Prize Picks offers projections on everything from NFL to women's college basketball to disc golf. You can use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Safe. They have fast withdrawals. And download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. Sign up. Play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. Again, don't forget the promo code Locked On at the sign up for that instant match. If you are not playing Prize Picks, honestly, you don't know what you're missing.
So on the list of things that you could say were suboptimal about the final possession of that game, Andy, you could say you would put that Lakers didn't call timeout, that the ball never touched LeBron James's hands.
It was never on the same side of the court as LeBron.
And that's the third part, that there was not only did it never get to LeBron, that there was never even the threat that it would get to LeBron. So all of those things were bad. So the play finishes. Little contact underneath. Russ says he was fouled and blah, blah, blah. The point being, the ball never, they never got a credible shot up, and LeBron never even threatened to touch the ball. Russ is under the basket, hits the ground on the under the basket. LeBron is already walking off the floor. Russ is still on the floor, sitting, you know, leaning up against the stanchion. LeBron is in the tunnel. And then, like you said, not particularly pleased after the game. Is this reaction meaningful in a way that goes beyond normal superstar frustration of losing another game that they could have won, knowing, hey, you know, we're in the 40s now in terms of games played. We got to start making up some ground. Is it more than that, do you think?
Honestly, I don't know. What I can tell you, though, is he was really angry about how things went down in the last possession. And the reason I know that is because after the game, he was asked about the final possession. And his quote was just, we got to stop, gave ourselves a chance to win the game. We didn't. He was then asked about the timeout issue that we had just discussed, you know, whether you agree with the idea of not calling one, what you think should one should be called, et cetera. His response was, got to stop, gave ourselves a chance to win, didn't execute. That he said basically verbatim clipped responses. And this was a game afterwards where LeBron is typically quite good with media, typically gives a lot of thoughtful responses. He's a lot like Kobe that way. Kobe was overwhelmingly really good after games, even when he was pissed off, in terms of giving solid answers. Mm-hmm. This was a game where LeBron was not having it. And in particular, the way he talked about that last possession, you could tell he was angry about the way it went down. Whether he's specifically mad at Russ in ways that linger, I have no
Darvin,
idea.
Like, again, it's there's frustration all over because, you know, remember the Dallas game, for example. Darvin straight up. I mean, this one, Darvin did not feel like he needed to defend his. I mean, he did. Like he didn't say, "Oh, I should have called timeout." He said, "You have the ball in the hands of one of the the best finishers in the game." Not sure I agree with that assessment. At least, certainly not anymore regarding Westbrook. Said, he doesn't want to let Doc, and Philly put more players on the floor. Doesn't want to let him get set. So on and so on and so on. Gave the standard explanations for coaches and why they don't want to call timeouts. But Darvin also, the other day against Dallas, copped to a mistake against Luka in allowing him not getting the ball out of his hands for the shot that ultimately put the game into the first overtime. There is certainly, more people starting to question Darvin's in-game decision-making at a time when the Lakers just don't have any margin. And, small mistakes, big mistakes, whatever, first-year head coach, whatever, however you want to, break this stuff down, is it fair or unfair or whatever, none of that matters in the sense that they can't, if you think it's a mistake not to get the ball, make sure the ball is in the hands of your superstar who has been unbelievable in this game, not just scoring, Andy, but finding guys. Some of the passes LeBron made in this game, including the one to Troy Brown, that one of the only, the 6 3-pointers they hit that got them to within a point late in the game, gave him a chance to be able to get the stop to go. It wasn't like he was just shooting the ball well. He was putting the ball in everybody's hands in exactly the right spot. I would, if I'm LeBron driving home, I can't understand how they don't reset that play so the ball is in his hands.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. So I don't know who said this to us on Twitter, and I can't find the actual tweet right now, but somebody tweeted to us a remark to the effect of, well, we just missed out on LeBron dribbling the clock down and putting up a step back three with no play called whatsoever. The truth is, LeBron has not been great in crunch time this season either. I mean, the Lakers have not been a good crunch time team. LeBron is ultimately, he is, even if you don't think he's the best player on this team anymore, even if you think it's Anthony Davis, for the most part, tonight notwithstanding, nobody is going to control crunch time more than LeBron on this team. So if LeBron has not been as strong as in years past in crunch time this season, then by definition, nobody has. I would have liked to have seen the ball end up in LeBron's hands just because it makes the most sense to have the ball in LeBron's hands, even if ultimately you end up with the same 113-112 loss. It becomes just easier to understand if it's LeBron. If LeBron ends up dribbling out the clock to the exact same sequence, ending on, you can't tell whether he was putting up a shot or trying to pass to Wenyen Gabriel, it will just make more sense with LeBron yes. having done it than Russ. Even though ultimately in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference.
There's also a virtually 0% chance it would have played out that way. I mean, it's like, yes, you are correct from empirically, it is the correct thing is to have the ball in LeBron's hands, even if the result is the same and the shot isn't good and whatever. But first of all, the Lakers have been better in those set plays than the not ones, this sort of free flow, disorganized kind of thing. And it's just not, I mean, I texted you during the game that as well as, as many good moments as Westbrook had, and he had a lot of them, a lot of them included LeBron. There was a, second quarter, second quarter. They had the lob, Russ to LeBron lob, and then the next play was the little drop pass.
We did a show last week, Brian, where we were talking about how, the question of whether or not Russ is playing well this season. Mm-hmm. And one of the stats that I brought up was how the net rating for LeBron and Russ on the court together, whether for the whole game or in the fourth quarter, has gotten dramatically better over the course of the season. And part, a big part of that, in terms of them figuring out how to play, is they now have a rhythm where LeBron plays a lot off ball, with Russ setting things up. LeBron is a finisher, and Russ finds LeBron on those passes. And, you know,
and a lot of, especially when they're on the move,
which to LeBron's credit is him ceding control. He has been ceding some control to Russ, you know, as part of the equilibrium in the give and the take. Shouldn't have been on that final possession.
No, take. No give. No more give there. But Westbrook finished with 20 points. He had 14 rebounds. He had 11 assists. He was a plus three. He had four turnovers, but against 11 assists, that's not terrible. But I watched many sequences. You know, the four turnovers could have been seven or eight, to be perfectly honest. Like, there were a few where he's throwing balls kind of wildly. Couple that bounce off, a sixer on the way out of bounds. You know, Wenyen Gabriel manages to get a hold of one that's just,
a good pass. Russ believes in the softness of Wenyen Gabriel and Thomas Bryant's hands because he throws those dudes bullets
from like 2.5 feet away. But, you know, LeBron, 15 of 23, 8 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 turnovers. He had a block, he had a steal, he was plus 19. The Lakers lost this game by a point, which means they lost the non-LeBron minutes by 20, if I'm doing the math right. Anyway, a little more on this one, and an update on Anthony Davis. We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and the calories, you got to try yourself a Built Bar. You know, the holidays are coming to an end, and I know I could eat a little healthier after some of the damage that I did, and I'm sure a lot of you are in the same boat, but you don't want to compromise taste. Like, why? So that's why you got to try Built Bars. And with Built, healthy actually is tasty. It's perfect for a New Year's resolution. As always, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. You got great flavors like churro and peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. They taste like candy bars, but only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, but 17 grams of protein. That is what you want. You don't even have to wait around for a box anymore. For years, we've talked about ordering your Built Bars at built.com, and that's great and still do it, but now you can actually get them in your local Walmart, in the pharmacy section. You go to a Sam's Club, go by either spot and just pick up a box with different flavors. Get yourself an assortment of Built Bars. Enjoy.
This one, the Luka thing, there really does seem to be more of a focus on the choices, things like that, not even like, you know, rotation stuff, because it's hard to get too angry about rotation choices and substitutions and all that when you're down as many guys as the Lakers are. I'm still very much there. But these kinds of things that are just sort of strategy choices of timeout versus not timeout, blitz a guy to get the ball out of his hands or don't, they just feel like mistakes that can't happen at this point. And I'm still very broadly supportive of Darvin and all that. And I think a lot of this is, you know, in-game coaching is really flipping hard. They can't afford very many more of these.
Well, here's what makes it really difficult is these are decisions that you might not have to make if Anthony Davis is available. You know what I mean? Like, some of these scenarios may not actually take place if AD is there, because if the Lakers are playing this tight against quality teams without AD, you know, forget no Austin Reeves, no Lonnie Walker, no Pat Beverly, but just no AD. If Anthony Davis is there, you may not even be in those tight situations to begin with, which may not present these scenarios and dilemmas for Darvin to figure out inexperienced on the fly. But this is where we are.
This is where we are. And there's, you know, Anthony Davis was out on the floor. People have probably seen some footage by now. If not, I'm sure you can find it on your favorite social media platform of Anthony Davis before the game. You know, getting some shots up and doing that. Mike Trudell, who does sidelines for Spectrum Sportsnet, the Lakers station. So, you know, this is their network essentially, you know, had a report, and even, you know, Mike noted that, he's getting shots up. He's out there. It's nice. He's also not running or jumping or doing any of those things. Mike didn't give a timeline, nor nobody with the Lakers has. But if you're not running or jumping or, you know, doing any of those basketball-y type things, it's reasonable to assume, Andy, that while you're correct that, man, if Anthony Davis was here and they were playing exactly the same, things would be very different. When is Anthony Davis going to come back? Like, and what, where will they be when Anthony Davis comes back?
I don't know. I mean, from Saturday's practice, Kyle Goon, who covers the team for the Orange County Register, said, quote, Darvin Ham said Anthony Davis was on the court a bit today. Did not say Davis is necessarily close to returning yet, but he is trending in the right direction. Dan Wojcicki from the LA Times said that, you know, he was out on the floor today, did some half court work. You know, we've seen AD putting up some very, very light jumpers. You know, I mean, this is stuff where clearly he's
more
not doing
standards.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's jumping a bit, but this is not like full extension, full strenuous stress on that foot, you know, and it gives you no real indication in terms of when he's going to be back. And, you know, it's a double-edged sword where they have to obviously be cautious, because if he has a setback, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, forget, I mean, beyond the fact that if he has a setback, we could be talking about exacerbating this into a more serious injury. We already know surgery had been discussed. If he has a setback, practically speaking, the season's over. Mm-hmm. Like, it's done. But on the other hand, you can't wait that much longer to get him back.
No. January closes with Houston tonight, which, by the way, it's a must win. Sorry, people. I know you get tired of me saying it. They cannot let a game against Houston get away. Just can't let that happen. That is incredibly damaging if it does. The Lakers have tended to respond well in games like the, you know, in these types of must win against bad teams. You can't give that away.
In hell, Houston considers it a must lose.
It's true.
I mean, they got their own battle going on.
Yeah, Kevin Porter may not play in that game, so they could be down one of their best players too. So it's like not even like a full strength Houston team. But they are young and bouncy and athletic, and if you let them stay in a game, they'll, you know, they have the potential to beat you.
They're gonna get geeked to play this team. If
damn right they are. And then you go with, you know, Sacramento, Memphis, Portland, who has now won I think two in a row after really hitting a tough patch there. The Clippers, San Antonio, and now you're on the road at the end of January against Boston, Brooklyn, a suddenly highly competent Knicks team where Julius Randle is bawling out, Indiana, we've talked about them, and New Orleans. Those are five teams currently all in the playoffs.
Or play in at the very least.
They have postseason. They can't quite go to Cancun if the season were to end today. That is brutal. And then you come home against an Oklahoma City team that doesn't suck.
Nope.
And a Milwaukee team that's Milwaukee. And you're like, it doesn't get any easier. And at some point, this is what is so frustrating about this. It's not that the Lakers aren't playing pretty well, because they are. And it's not that they're not playing admirably in the absence of Anthony Davis, because they are, especially when you add Austin Reeves, Patrick Beverley, all that stuff. Guys have the satisfaction that comes from that is undercut by the situation they find themselves in and the record that they have. Five games under 500, 13th in the conference.
You know what? I mean, there is no satisfaction. I mean, the word I would think is even like solace, because there's no satisfaction at this point. Like,
whatever word you want to use that implies that, you know, hey, the silver lining, whatever, however you want to phrase it. But you're right.
They have to find a way to close out opportunities, because they've been getting themselves closer. They have been playing all things considered, without Anthony Davis, to say nothing of the other guys who've been in and out of the lineup, remarkably well.
Yes.
And, you know, there is, without question, a confidence that you have in the idea of what they could be on paper if everybody was there. But you don't get any extra credit for what could be. And they got to figure out some ways now, like, to just, in spite of whatever obstacle is in front of them, they just have to win these games. Because otherwise, you might as well just let AD's foot heal up entirely for next season or for his trade value, whatever.
Like, yeah, it's frustrating to waste games, or, you know, not take advantage. Waste can be the wrong word. Not take advantage of a night like this from LeBron, or when you get the effort. I mean, they up and down the line, you know, guys. But this is the space. If there is a place that the Lakers have just been stubbornly unable to improve, it's the last 5 minutes of games. It is execution in critical moments. It's stuff like that. And some of that is the lack of continuity. Some of it is, quite frankly, the roster construction. They only had a couple guys who can kind of make things go well in those situations. And some of it, now, again, you start to point back to how are they being coached? And the microscope is there. And people are going to be paying really close attention, because this one hurt. You know, they didn't do anything wrong necessarily if you look at it at a 48-minute game. But that's not the point. Got to win. It's just like the Dallas game. It's like they didn't do anything wrong, but you got to find ways to win those games, and they just aren't doing it.
Yeah. Time is running out for them to figure it out. It just is.
Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Andy, it's going to be a much better day on Monday.
Yeah.
We got a lot of people got the day off. It's going to be, you know, a little bit of a holiday. I know I don't have to work until the Lakers play that game. I'm taking the day off. Lots of other people are. Enjoy a ton of NBA basketball. I hope that's what people are able to do. Do some other stuff with their families if you don't have to go into work. And it's going to be, Tuesday's show is going to be more fun. We'll be back talking about good stuff on Tuesday.
Agreed.
All right, just want to end on a high note. See everybody on Tuesday.